When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money, but are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
We're on the radio 1 till 4, and then after 4 o'clock, we transform into a podcast, John and Ken on Demand. Same radio show. It's on the iHeart app, and you can listen to what you missed.
All right, in 15 minutes, you'll hear another keyword. So, again, you could win the cash if you follow the directions, and that'll come up around 3:20. We'll have some updates on Israel versus Hamas, a few developments there to go through today. But we begin with one of the big stories from yesterday, and that is the Alaska Airlines pilot, who has now been charged with 83 counts of attempted murder. And again, if you don't know this story, it has gone viral. Anyway, he was hitching a ride on another flight, and apparently he said, "I'm not okay," and he tried to shut the engines off while the plane was midair. Let's bring on Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI, about more on this crazy story.
Hey there, guys. Yeah, and we know from court documents that we've got now that the flight crew who was flying, the pilot and the first officer, the captain and the first officer, that they say he was acting totally normally, that he was engaging in chit-chat, that he was sitting in there, seemed totally fine. Alaska Airlines says that their gate agents, that they're trained to look for either flight crew or passengers who seem like they're on something, whether it be alcohol or drugs, and that they didn't see anything when he checked in for the flight and showed his credentials and got on, that they say he seemed normal then. And then when he was in the cockpit for about half the flight, that the flight crew said, yeah, totally normal. And then all of a sudden he says, "I'm not right," and gets up and pulls those T-bars, the T-handles in the ceiling of the cockpit of the Embraer 175, and those are what would shut down the engines to be used if there was a fire on board in the engines. Now, the thing, you know, the part that is kind of blowing everybody away is that this captain, been a captain at Alaska since 2019, saying that telling police, we now know, that he had taken magic mushrooms about 48 hours before he got on the plane, had not slept in a couple of days, had been depressed for months, felt like he was in a dream as all of this was going on, and tried to wake up and thought by doing this, that it was going to wake him out of the sleep that he was in, and then reached up and pulled on those handles. There was a struggle in the cockpit that the pilots who were flying said went on for about 30 seconds. They battled him. They kicked him out of the cockpit. Bailey Beck was on board, and he says,
"I did my best to just remain calm, as there's nothing really I can do in that situation."
And now we know when he went out of the cockpit, the flight attendants were escorting him toward the back, and he walked back there and then went for the emergency exit. And a flight attendant took his hand and took it off of the the handle of the emergency exit door, and that's when he told the flight attendant, you better cuff me right now or it's going to be bad. And that's when they got the flex cuffs out, the plastic cuffs, and cuffed him to a railing in the back until they could make the emergency landing in Portland. And, you know, through all of this, the passengers knew something was going on. They didn't know exactly what it was that was going on. They thought it was a medical emergency, but they knew something was happening. He was, we now know, from Alaska Airlines, able to pull on those T-handles that would have shut off the engines. He did get his hands on them and did pull them out of the ceiling enough to arm the fire suppression system on board, that the alarm started going off and they got warnings in the cockpit. But he wasn't able to pull them all the way down to kill the engines. Thank goodness. One of the pilots told police in their interview afterwards that had he done that, that plane with 84 people on board would have become a giant glider at night over the woods of Oregon. And but he wasn't able to do it. They put the handles back into the ceiling and cleared everything and then continued on to Portland. But the mix was apparently magic mushrooms, not sleeping for a few days, being depressed for months, and feeling like he was in a dream that he admitted to police, allegedly, that he carried it out.
But everything seemed okay until he tried to do this. Nobody noticed anything peculiar about him, even though he's in a stupor and a dream and he's on magic mushrooms.
Yeah, no, they, from the gate agents to the cockpit crew, they say everything was totally normal, chatting with them, small talk, and then out of nowhere said, I'm not right, jumped up and grabbed the controls. And he told police, Emerson did, that he felt like the crew wasn't paying enough attention to flying the plane and felt like he had to do something. I don't think the answer would be turn off the engines.
Yeah,
if you feel like that they're not paying enough attention.
He has magic mushrooms floating in his brain. I mean, the ingredient is psilocybin. That's the psychedelic. And so that completely disrupts your brain wiring and your perception of what's going on.
I mean, the only thing would be our medical team here at ABC, they were going over with us last night what magic mushrooms do and how long they're in your system. And normally it's only a few hours, not days. There is a condition, very rare, that they would create hallucinogenic properties for a couple of days. And some people who have a bad reaction to them, maybe he just happens to be one of those people. But typically, you know, if he took them, so this was Sunday, so
if he's telling
48-hour Friday, it, you know, would have been out by Saturday morning, and he is, you know.
That's so assuming he's telling the truth.
Yeah, or when did he take them? You know, we may find out he took them when he was walking down the jetway. You know, who knows?
Every guy who's pulled over for DUI says, oh.
I had
one beer. I mean, everybody lies when they're actually caught. Yeah. I mean,
I had 8 beers. I'm sorry. No, you say you had one beer.
Yeah, when you're hearing 83 attempted murder charges, it's like, you know, I never heard of magic mushrooms. I've only read about them. I mean, you're just going to say whatever you have to say to try to cloud up the case.
Alex, there was some confusion yesterday as to whether or not he had just taken the magic mushrooms or they were in his system from a previous time. So we're now sure he took them before he got on this plane?
So there's now two cases against him. There are there's a federal charge of interfering with the flight crew, and then the local, the state of Oregon, the 83 counts of attempted murder, and then one more count of something else. And that in the federal case, they just said he had taken them before and that he had said that it was the first time he had taken magic mushrooms. But we didn't know, was it right then or was it you know, 2 months before?
And how many?
Yeah.
How much did he take?
Yeah. And it apparently wasn't microdosing based on if it, you know, made him do all this. The state charges, though, they say that he told local police 48 hours before. So it apparently was shortly before. He, though, now is on suicide watch in jail. The about 90 minutes after he was booked into the Portland area jail, that he made some comment about 90 minutes afterwards that worried police, and they put him on there. He pleaded not guilty in court to the state charges. He's going to be in court tomorrow on the federal charge. He's going to be indicted. We know that the DA in the Portland area is going for a grand jury for an indictment. Federally, he will have to be indicted for a federal case to move forward. They've got to indict him, so he'll be indicted on that one as well. So there will be indictments coming down as well, but right now the charges have been filed.
Now, so does he have a mushroom defense, you think?
I mean, I don't know.
No, it's
mental,
not a defense.
I mean, likely going to go down the mental road of I didn't know what I was doing, that I'm depressed, that I'm mentally ill, but we don't know. He's
drinking
not guilty
and
right now.
Taking drugs is not a legal defense.
No, but if he can claim clinical depression, that he had been dealing with this for a long time, that it, you know, that he was going down a bad road,
then he shouldn't have been flying or near any planes.
I vote guilty.
And how often do they test pilots for anything like drugs or?
Well, I know there's random, can be random alcohol. I believe drugs as well. They do their yearly, depending on age, it can be anywhere from every 6 months to every 5 years, but typically a yearly annual physical. There is a little bit in there about mental health. And, you know, I had a physical on Saturday, you know, where they typically, are you sad? Have you had any anxiety recently? And then if anything flags, they can refer you to go deeper, but it's not typically on the surface something that they dig real deep into, and their union rules with the airlines, what they can and can't do. But this did not flag. And Alaska Airlines, they say he joined the airline in 2001 as a first officer of the regional carrier Horizon, owned by Alaska. Then he went to Virgin America in 2012. They got bought by Alaska. Then he was back at Alaska. Then he became a captain in 2019. They say clean record, nothing that ever came up that, you know, he was... at least on paper, a solid employee, a solid captain for Alaska. So nothing there that flagged.
All right. Thank you very much.
Are you sad?
I don't think so.
All right. All right. You didn't
answer.
Sounds
happy.
Okay. Well, all right. This pilot sounded happy.
Don't touch those mushrooms.
Okay. That's right.
All right. Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI on the magic mushroom pilot.
CNN has
Alaska Airlines, Joseph Emerson. Yes.
CNN has a story. They interviewed Matt Johnson. He's a Johns Hopkins professor. He studies magic mushrooms and psychedelics. And it's possible, he said, that between the lingering effects of the mushrooms, his depression and being sleep deprived, he claimed he hadn't slept in 40 hours, that it could have created a perfect storm where Emerson was experiencing derealization.
Derealization.
A feeling of detachment from one's surroundings. People describe the experience as feeling as though they're in a movie or a dream. Psychotic-like behavior is among the risks of taking psilocybin, which is the active ingredient in mushrooms, especially if you have an existing psychiatric disorder.
All right. Well, we just got word that when we return, our guest is going to be the attorney for Frazier Michael Bohm, the 22-year-old Malibu young man that killed those four women on Pacific Coast Highway a week ago yesterday. Michael Kraut will join us. This ought to be interesting. And of course, we learned today that he thinks there may have been a road rage incident involved before this crash. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We began the show with a press conference from the Los Angeles County District Attorney George Gascon, along with L.A. County Sheriff's officials, announcing that it is four counts of murder and four counts of gross vehicular manslaughter against 22-year-old Frazier Michael Bohm of Malibu. He's the guy that was behind the wheel of a BMW that was speeding down Pacific Coast Highway. It crashed into some cars and also crashed into and killed four Pepperdine students. They say that records show from the vehicle that he was traveling 104 miles per hour in a 45 mile per hour zone. And Gascon used some terminology along the lines that he kind of knew that he was driving very dangerously. What stunned us was a question from reporters during the news conference, because apparently Bohm had already appeared in court and pled not guilty to the charges. And he has an attorney by the name of Michael Kraut, who told reporters outside court that his client was being chased following a road rage incident at the time. So Michael Kraut has agreed to talk to us. Let's bring him on the show.
Michael Kraut, welcome to the John and Ken Show.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
All right. He's going 104 miles an hour, say the police. You say he was being chased. Tell us the story.
The short version is he stopped at the stoplight near Duke's, and he was texting somebody, and as he's able to do at a stoplight, not moving, and this man next to him became outraged. And we later learned who this person is and that he has a history of exceptionally aggressive behavior when driving. And my client left and was driving in the roadway up PCH in the what they call the number two lane, which is next to the shoulder. The other person started trying to chase him. My client, as the other person came into his lane to try and force him off the road, sped up to go around him. Their cars connected. My client went into the, began to slow down. It was put into the gravel or the side of the roadway and hit the car. And unfortunately, the four Pepperdine ladies had just left a frat party, were in the street, and the car hit them, and they all passed away.
Did your client tell the police this immediately?
So my client, by the way, so we're clear, is a 22-year-old young man, zero criminal record, zero traffic violations, has always been law-abiding, and stopped at the scene, waited at the scene, had no drugs in him, no alcohol. He had just picked up tacos in Santa Monica for a friend up PCH, was bringing the young man dinner. And he cooperated and told them everything, including that the other car came in and hit him from the side. The sheriff's, the family hired me right after this had happened the next day. I reached out. We located who the detective was. The detective was given numerous phone messages as well as emails saying that we had vital and critical information to provide him to assist in the investigation. And he never called back. And then we tracked it. Then we found there was a warrant because my client was just arrested. And I reached out to the assigned district attorney who had filed the case and said that there was information we wanted to provide and did not get a call back. And today was the arraignment.
So none of the police and the investigators wrote down this information for their report that your client gave them.
They did put in, at first the DA, I believe, said that that didn't happen, and then later on admitted that there was a statement that my client had been, the car had made contact with his.
And
we're very clear. We learned from somebody else, who's Malibu's a small community, that this gentleman told somebody in his family that he was involved in this, and he had chased my client and pushed him off the side of the roadway, and then the accident happened.
And this is triggered by your client texting?
Texting at a stoplight, and the person was exceptionally angry and yelling at him.
You say you know this person's name?
We have located who the person is, yes.
And you also said they have some sort of a record doing this, harassing people that they think are doing bad things on the road or something?
We understand that he is an exceptionally aggressive driver and has had repeated problems.
And are the police looking into him?
We still have not been able to get them to return one call. The reason you're hearing about this is we finally put it on the record at the arraignment. And at that time, the issue came up before the district attorney. And then during a press release afterwards, I brought this up again. But I do want to comment on a couple of things. I think in the 15 years I was a deputy district attorney and now 15 years in the defense side, I have never, ever seen a case that was filed within 5 days of an incident when the person's out of custody. It usually takes months, if not a year, to decide whether or not to file charges on that and to look at the car, to get cameras, to get all the witnesses, to look at every single thing and literally put a periscope up and look 360 degrees around. That didn't happen. The sheriffs, under the pressure of Gascon and who else had pressure in the community, pointed in one direction as the person who was in the car hit the other car and focused only on that and rushed to file murder charges. Even when the district attorney discussed the case in court today, the facts that he gave amount to less than murder, at most gross vehicular manslaughter.
Gascon is not known for pressuring to get arrests and convictions. Why would he put so much pressure to have this case charged so quickly, especially with second-degree murder charges?
So I guess the best way to say this is there are times when Gascon, it's to his political advantage to take a certain position. So a prosecutor has a duty to only speak about the evidence that is fact that they are aware of and to be truthful and honest with the public and whoever they're making these statements with. Gascon previously has done the same with a nurse who had the catastrophic accident in the valley and rushed to file charges on that person. My client was never going 104 miles an hour, and all of the paperwork they provided to us specifically even says the computer chips inside what they call the black box said he was not going 104 miles an hour. It actually said at the moment of impact he was going 70 miles an hour. Gascon has repeatedly said multiple things that I believe I heard at the press conference. They had to admit, well, yes, Kraut had called the detectives and tried to provide information.
Where'd the 104 come from?
You know, I guess that came from Gascon because there's no paperwork that says that number.
Let me ask you again about the actual crash. You're saying that this road rage driver that was chasing your client, he hit him just before your client ran into the women?
He pushed him off the road. The cars did touch each other, and my client was pushed into the I don't know if you said off the road, but into the area where you can park, all the way to the right where the car was parked.
But there's no witnesses to this? There were people out there, weren't there, that night, or seeing two cars actually involved in something?
So there is actually video that shows this.
You've seen it.
And one of the news organizations actually played it that day or the next day.
Video that shows your client's car being bumped by this other road rage driver.
It shows him being chased by that car.
Being chased, okay.
See, because when I heard this today, I thought, well, did Fraser Bohm immediately tell the police, I got pushed by another guy into these cars?
He did tell them that.
He's going down PCH. You should go after him. He hit me, and then I hit the other cars and the girls. He told all the cops this, and what, they just stared at him?
So let me kind of create a better scene for you. At 70 miles an hour, my client hit. He was severely injured. His part of his tongue was severed and split. He had a severe concussion, and they believed he had a brain bleed. When he was taken by the police, he was rushed to the hospital by the police. So they did a few field sobriety tests. He passed those. So it's hard to get a full statement, but everything he told them that this white car came at him. He told them that it hit his car and pushed him. He gave as much statement. They asked him if he'd been drinking. He said no. They asked him if he did any drugs. He said no. He was truthful and accurate in everything he gave.
This other driver, do you think he's going to be forced to appear? Because you're saying that he has admitted something of being involved in this?
We have all intention to subpoena this person at the right time and bring that person forward, as well as the individuals who that person has spoken to and told the story to, in case he denies it.
Your story couldn't possibly be more different than when Gascon and the investigators laid out.
Yeah, it's just a reckless young guy just driving too fast, lost control of his car. That's all we're getting.
Well, I don't really want to care too much about what Gascon says. He hasn't read any of the documents from what I understand, and he's just speaking it, and he's running for a contested election against numerous candidates. And so right now it's important for him to get out there and look like he's a law and order guy. The problem is, if he followed the ethics codes, he would never say before anybody that the person was going 104 miles an hour when there's zero discovery that says that. He wouldn't make allegations that he hasn't read and had personal one-hand knowledge. And as to the detectives, you know, I expect them to give what they know and what they're willing to provide. And the narrative they're giving is not the full narrative. And I would expect a detective to listen to everything, not rush within 5 days to file murder charges when the client is not fleeing the country to go somewhere and is not an issue with safety to the public. But they do a full investigation. They have the car review. They look at everything. They go knocking doors, pulling the cameras. There are businesses and homes all in here. And they say, can I have the camera feed? And for many years that I did this case, these type of cases on both sides of prosecution and defense, good investigators want to seek the truth. And I think there was a pressure. It's a horrible accident. And in a very wealthy community, and these co-eds were killed, and there's a rush to hold somebody accountable, and that's where we are today.
All right, Michael Kraut, thank you for talking to us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right, Michael Kraut is the defense attorney for Frazier Michael Bohm, the 22-year-old who, of course, drove his car into four young women, Pepperdine students who were killed a week ago yesterday. And what we're getting from the defense attorney was there was a road rage incident before that that may have pushed Bohm's car into the collision. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
If you missed our last segment or anything else, you can go to the iHeart app after 4 o'clock, John and Ken on demand, the podcast, and hear it again. And we just had the attorney for Frazier Bohm. He is the 22-year-old who struck and killed the four young girls in their 20s in Malibu. They were students at Pepperdine, ran them over. And Michael Kraut is Bohm's attorney, and he came on and gave a lengthy explanation of what his client says happened. That there was, now follow this, this is what he told us, that Frazier Bohm is stopped at a light in front of Duke's restaurant, and he's texting while the car is stopped. There's an angry guy in a car next to him who gets agitated seeing Frazier text. And after the light changes, starts chasing Bohm up the PCH and eventually hits Bohm. And that leads,
clips him, I guess is the word used.
Yeah,
clips him.
And that causes Bohm to crash
into
the parked cars on the side of the road. And the girls were standing between those cars. And, you know, the rest of the story.
Further, he said that this man is known, at least in the records, as something of a road rage driver. So he knows the man's identity, he says.
Right. And that all of this was told by Bohm to the police that night. And they've been trying to tell Gascon's staff all week and not getting much of a response.
Well, it starts with the sheriff's investigators. The sheriff department is the one that leads the way, collecting all the evidence. And then they present the case that they accumulated to the DA. Right. So that's where they should have gone with this story, to have them check it out.
Right. Right? Well, I mean, he claimed that...
When asked at the press conference, because a reporter brought this up, there seemed to be some confusion between Gascon and the sheriff's department spokeshole, because they didn't seem to... They're like, so, I think eventually Gascon says that they can come to my office and bring what they have or something like that.
Well, did the sheriff's department stonewall Michael Kraut?
Just didn't find it credible. I don't know.
Well, you can easily... I mean, it's part of the investigation. If there's video of this,
and the defense attorney actually found the man who supposedly has admitted that he was involved in something,
and there should be damage on the guy's car, and there should be some damage on Bohm's car that connects to being hit by the mystery man. It's hard. I mean, unless the sheriff's just completely dismissed it, and Gascon didn't have the curiosity. Or he was driven to make a splash here since he's running for re-election and he's botched up so many cases and he thought, well, this one's going to be easy. I'm going to look like a hero.
There was a lot of media attention on this story. It's a horribly tragic story. People are screaming about Pacific Coast Highway in Malibu. I mean, our guest, the defense attorney Michael Kraut, said he hadn't seen anything filed so quickly, just 7 days or so after this happened.
And then then Gascon's claiming that the car went at 104. The attorney's claiming, no, it was 70, which is still bad for a 45-mile-an-hour zone. But
the cars have like a black box where you can check out data like that.
It's a basic fact that shouldn't be in dispute.
Yes, so defense attorneys versus George Gascon, I don't know what to do, right?
Right.
Credibility scale.
Well, yeah, I mean, Gascon is a complete screw-up.
Plus, Gascon is just reading. It was the case is being handled by his assistants and by the sheriff's department, right. So he doesn't know the details. Well, he's just reading what they gave him to read.
That's the thing. It was a blatant campaign appearance is what it was. So, yeah, they gave him a script, and he doesn't really know the details, because as soon as the reporters started asking a little more pointed questions, if you noticed, Gascon started getting pissy. He started getting a little angry. And he started cutting off the questions, because he can't take hard questions and he can't take a criticism, either direct or implied criticism. Wow. He gets really jumpy. But wow. I don't know how 5 days go by and all this stuff wasn't completely covered by the sheriff's department. That doesn't make any sense.
No, the first it came out today was when outside the courtroom, this defense attorney we just talked to, Michael Kraut, started telling reporters this story about the road rage.
Right.
So what did the sheriff's department do with that? With that story, just said, not going to pursue it. Doesn't seem to be anything to it.
If Bohm made up the story, it's really easy to see.
Well, now Michael Kraut says they have the guy's name that supposedly did this.
Right.
The driver.
And the guy's car.
Because remember, reports were they didn't seem to think there was a second car. I remember following that. Because the first thing we all thought was they're racing. Remember that?
There was a rumor that racing was involved. And it would look like racing, right? One car is chasing
another. Road rage would look like racing,
and
yes.
And I also heard or read somewhere that there was some incident at Duke's. So, you know, you wondered if there was some dust up, some argument, and one guy's chasing the other. Really bizarre that this, if this is true, that the other guy would get angry that Bohm was texting while at the light. That's a strange trigger.
The attorney implied that this man has a history of being triggered on the road. So we'll see if this person surfaces, who they are, what they say, whether or not they admit that they were angry and chased Bohm.
It is bizarre. You file 4 second-degree murder charges on top of the 4 vehicular manslaughter charges, because you're talking 15 to life for each count. So Gascon and pushes all that through, and then... Within 2 hours after the press conference, you hear this? Their job is to investigate thoroughly and think of all possible angles before you prosecute somebody for murder.
I'm sure they're going to be pressed for an answer. Not just the DA's office, but the sheriff's department. as to what they did with this claim by Bohm and maybe his attorney. The attorney, I don't know when he came on the case, but
either this is a bizarre, fictitious story or Gascon has really, really screwed up badly here.
All right, we'll be right back. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Yeah, we got the Moist Line coming back just in 2 days on Friday. So leave a message using the iHeartRadio app, the one you hear so much about. Or, of course, call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86. A couple of notes coming from that part of the world, Israel and Hamas. Israel has agreed to delay the expected invasion of Gaza for now so the U.S. can rush missile defenses to the region to protect U.S. troops. You probably hear about these drone attacks that have been attempted on U.S. troops in that region of the world. So there's a concern there for that. The U.S. also released its intelligence details that it says now clears Israel in the Gaza hospital blast. Mm. Reports of that have already come out, but this was their, yesterday was the first time that they talked about the details of what they looked at, multiple videos, geolocation techniques, and said with a high level of confidence.
Somebody
is not responsible. Somebody should send that to what's her name.
The New York Times. Somebody should call the New York Times, see if they're interested in that story. Those two nutty congresswomen.
Yeah, Tlaib. The Wall Street Journal is running a story that in the weeks leading up to the Hamas attack in Israel on October 7th, hundreds of Palestinian Islamic militant groups fighters got special combat training in Iran. Roughly 500 militants from Hamas and an allied group, the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, I think that was their missile that went awry, wasn't it? Participated in the exercises in September, which was led by Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps.
All of this leads to Iran.
It's
going to be the U.S. versus Iran.
And Israel versus Iran.
Yes. But we are going to back up Israel, and we are going to jump in if necessary. We're going to fund a lot of it. And Iran is going to fund all of its satellites, all of its puppet terrorist units.
Yeah.
And the Russians back Iran. The Chinese back Iran. They sell weapons to it. So it's all primed to be... Prime for a world war.
Yeah, it's starting to look that way. Something to be said that Israel's not done the ground invasion yet. So you wonder if it's about the hostages or about the U.S. request. There's something to that you know, we have to also find out.
Yeah, probably both. I mean, they got a deadline. Eventually, they're going to have to give up on the hostages.
And look how quickly they turned it. The media's turned them into the bad guy. If they go in on the ground, they'll be more of the bad guy.
Yeah, I don't.
It'll be ugly.
Right? I don't trust the media reporting at all on this story. Conway's here.
You trust me, right?
Oh, well,
yeah, sure.
Yes,
usually not during these 3 minutes here.
No.
I got a question for the two of you. I was listening to you earlier. Great show, by the way. A+.
Thank you.
I'd listen again.
You can on the iHeartRadio app in just minutes.
Yeah. Or you can listen to this. And I heard you saying that the people in Malibu who own these very wealthy cars don't want speed bumps and you can't legislate idiots. Right.
Yes.
People will do stupid things.
Well, that was the general tone of the Nextdoor app.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
If that's the case, if that's their philosophy, does that also extend itself to the Second Amendment? With that crew?
With that crowd?
Not at all.
Probably not. No.
Not even close.
No, they wouldn't see the hypocrisy.
And they say, well, you know, guns kill, but cars don't. Well, clearly cars do.
Yes.
What, are you going to have a 2-week, cooling off period before you buy an expensive car? This is exactly, you know, the hypocrisy that is living out there in Malibu.
Very good.
Yes. Thank you.
So you're very sharp.
When I get some sleep, John, I'm as sharp as they come. I just don't get any sleep. Alex Stone is coming on with us. That guy's great. With the Alaska Airlines pilot. He told police he had taken magic mushrooms. I don't believe, John, you've ever experienced magic mushrooms.
No, I have very, very little drug experience.
Is that right? No weed?
Maybe five joints? And not even whole joints.
Today?
Huh? About an hour ago.
Okay.
No, I hated the heat coming from the cigarette.
I thought you meant the cops.
No. I just hot smoke, hot air. It just I hated it.
And then we have LA's most notorious homeless encampments cleared out of the 405 freeway. I don't know if you guys touched on homeless today or not.
Oh, have you ever seen that one?
Yeah,
it's Venice Boulevard.
Yeah, it's a disaster.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but I love the one on Washington, where half the street under the freeway is Culver City, the other half is LA. Culver City is like the yellow brick road in Wizard of Oz.
That one is, but then
and the other side's like the brown brick road.
Yeah, right. In Venice, though, both sides were bad.
Yes, that's true. Yeah,
that was odd.
Yeah, but, it was horrible.
All right, Conway's up next.
All right, ding dong. Ding dong. Go Rams, Ken. Come on.
Crozier has the news. Live in the 24 KFI 24-hour newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody. And every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.